Welcome back. Hey, I've come to that most exciting part of the show where John Yetman and Josh Schneider, financial advisors from the Capital Bay Group at Morgan Stanley's Bethesda office, come on in and discuss financial planning. Yes, each week, every week, for the rest of our lives, they'll be discussing some lessons learned from their team's 100-plus years experience with clients. So, John Yetman and Josh Schneider are in studio today. Glad to have you guys. Just so you know, a little background. John Yetman and Adam Goddard each have over 30 years experience. Josh Schneider, 13 years, and Jason Martin, 16 years of experience. And really, Steve Lohman, 11 years. You know, it's a distant fifth, really, comparatively, but he's coming along. So, John, what are you going to discuss today?
Eric, this week we want to talk about something near and dear to your heart, real estate. You can tell by the success of your show, there's a lot of interest in real estate. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, home ownership in the United States is almost 70%. For most of our clients, their house is inextricably linked to the American dream and to their dreams. And we get a lot of questions from our clients. Questions like, how much should real estate make up of our total assets? How much of a mortgage should I have? Should we own rental properties? How does this all tie into our financial plan? Let me start by saying we can't make broad recommendations because everyone's situation is unique. Everyone has different goals, resources, tolerance for risk. That said, there are some lessons that we can impart from experience.
Okay, don't keep me waiting.
Well, we like to look at our investment assets in five major buckets: cash, bonds, stocks, real estate, and a catch-all bucket that we affectionately call other.
Okay. All right. So give me some examples.
Sure. So some examples in the other bucket are precious metals, gold and silver, master limited partnerships, hedge funds, private businesses, loans to people's children, all sorts of things. And I feel as though people don't ever learn that you need diversification among all of these buckets.
Well, I'm imagining this is because the markets can fail like they did 6 years ago.
Of course they can, but there's also no such thing as a no-risk investment. Mm-hmm. You can only choose what kind and how much risk you want to take. Risks include market risk, default risk, currency risk, interest rate risk, inflation risk, and a risk that a lot of people don't think about, which is liquidity risk. Sometimes you just need access to your money, and even if the money's in a liquid investment, you may not want to sell it because you don't want to take a loss. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the market's up and you don't want to take a gain. So it's important to note that diversification doesn't necessarily guarantee a profit or protect against a loss.
Well, you know, I got to say that there have been times in my life when I wish I had more liquidity because there was an opportunity that came along at that moment in time. And if I had been more diversified, I would have been in a position to take advantage of that opportunity.
Well, you know, we tell clients to draw something we call the liquidity ladder. So think of it as a vertical rectangle. So if you're out there, listeners, and you have a piece of paper, draw a rectangle with the short side on the top and the bottom, and then divide that into six parts. And at the bottom are your most liquid assets. These are, you know, either cash or CDs, money market funds, checking accounts, things like that. Anything that matures within a year. And the next box are intermediate high-quality bonds, either taxable or tax-free municipal bonds, bonds that mature within 1 to 5 years. Next up are longer-term bonds, then stocks, then real estate and other more illiquid assets. And in the very last box at the top are retirement accounts and annuities, assets you want to keep for a long time. And if you think about it, as you move up the liquidity ladder, your liquidity decreases from cash is the most liquid all the way up to annuities. But you increase after-tax return potential. And I say potential because you could lose money in almost any one of these boxes. The goal is to have balance in each one of the boxes and adjust them to your own personal feelings and needs.
Okay, so Josh, when analyzing the assets, you and John are looking at a balance sheet of a client. What questions revolve around real estate?
Well, most of us, Eric, are very passionate about our homes. We put a lot of time, money, and resources into making it a reflection of our lifestyle and personality. Mm-hmm. So homes also represent a significant portion of our net worth. We help our clients understand the importance of having a healthy balance of liquid and illiquid assets. So since real estate is not immediately liquid, we need to plan in order to have other assets that are more accessible. So some of the most common financial planning questions we regularly receive are, should I consider refinancing given the current interest rate environment? I only have a few years left on my mortgage. Should I pay off the remaining balance? If I decide to downsize in retirement, how can I redeploy those assets to generate income? Should I use the equity in my home to consolidate other high interest bearing debt?
Okay, those are really good practical suggestions, you know, questions that people might be asking themselves. I know that I'm tempted, should I pay off my car now? You know, I've got some extra cash. I just go ahead and pay the car off. I've only got a, 3% interest on the car, but I kind of like just want to free my mind of the debt. Okay. Or do I go ahead and take that and invest it to get a better return some other place? So what other practical suggestions would you make?
So typically where we have experience, number one is lifestyle planning, which includes retirement and cash flow. Number two is asset allocation development. So that takes into account real estate as well as other securities. Number three is joint tax planning with your CPA. And then four is joint estate planning with your legal counsel. So simply put, we like our clients to see us as the financial quarterback in their lives. So we stress the importance of having a wealth plan in place that takes into account all the variables that we just mentioned above.
Well, when I'm meeting with someone about selling their property, oftentimes it is the most valuable asset that they have. They might have some in retirement, or maybe they're getting a pension. So technically, it's a pension. They're not actually, they don't own that money, the core money. They're just receiving an annual income off of, you know, off of this pension. But the lump sum of money that comes out of the sale of their property is such a significant piece in that asset allocation. A lot of times, I'm not sure. In fact, I get people who ask me, I'm really not sure what to do with this. Like, what's my next step? So you guys, I think, could help in that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to come into the show, is that we talk about real estate. Real estate is a piece of the overall financial picture that people have. And to understand that piece among everything is, I think, critical. So tell me about wealth planning. Integrate that in the lifestyle.
Sure. Well, wealth planning, it is the integration of lifestyle planning. You know, asset protection as well as any wealth transfer issues. So this can be daunting and an almost overwhelming task. And the more assets we have, the more complex it can become. So it's important to plan while we are all well and able. So we don't know, as Hamlet so eloquently put it, when we will go to the undiscovered country.
I love that phrase.
The undiscovered country being the other side of the grave.
You got it.
All right.
So if you procrastinate or wait to plan, it may be too late to do any planning of real consequence, or it may be too late to even plan at all. Time is the source of real leverage. Nothing is better than tackling the issues now, unless, of course, we tackled them yesterday. So given changes in personal and family situations, tax law changes, capital market developments, there may be no better time than now to review and reconsider what planning has been and needs to be done.
Okay, I know that there are people who would like to call you now. What's the best way to reach you?
Eric, best to call our office and call our partner, Steve Lohman. He handles all incoming calls, and Steve's number is 301-961-1823.
Okay, again, to reach Steve Lohman, call 301-961-1823 to discuss building your financial plan. Again, you can reach Steve Lohman at 301-961-1823. Reach the Capital Bay Group. If you get a chance, give him a call right now. You can leave a message for Steve, and he'll call you back. Well, gentlemen, pleasure to have you on the show again. John Yetman and Josh Snyder with the Capital Bay Group at Morgan Stanley.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you next week. Let's talk just a brief moment about widow care. Last week, I had Kristen Hoover, the executive director for widowcare.org. This is a nonprofit organization that the Eric Stewart Group has started to help widows and orphans in distress, to intercede and provide true compassion and assistance to restarting the lives of those who've lost their spouses, to become a part of our Widow Care Society. If you have an interest, go to widowcare.org to find out more. And coming up next, we've got a story that relates to the drug culture. Don't go away.